Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. I'm just glad to be back on the air at 7. Not to be.
Me too.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I like the Chiefs post game show. It just goes a little long. So we're thrilled to have a full show for you tonight. It's a good show too, by the way. Happy you joined us here at your local liberal resistance headquarters. Thrilled that you're with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. I would love to hear from you. Quick reminder, don't forget to listen for our carry-on commentary. That's my daily commentary. You can hear that 3 times a day. 5 days a week right here on KNSS. And also, don't forget, coming up Tuesday night, the Estes for Congress campaign is hosting a watch party out at Cozine. Starts when the polls close at 7. I think we just heard a promo about that, as a matter of fact. So make sure you join us for the watch party on Monday, or Tuesday night, rather. Hopefully it'll be a celebration. I think it will be. If you want a prediction, I can give you a prediction. But we've got a great show tonight. I've been wanting a long time to have Dinesh D'Souza on the show. He is a phenomenal author and documentarian. He is the author of the new book, Vindicating Trump. He will join us to kick off our 8 o'clock hour to explain why he says Donald Trump is unquestionably the most unique and charismatic figure in American politics since Ronald Reagan. And frankly, I'd have to agree with him, and I'm really looking forward to talking to Dinesh. We'll talk about the book, and of course, we'll talk about the election. Newsmax CEO Christopher Ruddy. If you're not watching Newsmax, you need to. If you're disappointed in Fox, trust me, check out Newsmax. But Mr. Ruddy will join us to discuss media bias, the Newsmax IPO. By the way, Newsmax is now in many evenings. It's actually surpassing CNN. Big shock. And the latest developments in a presidential election campaign. Fourth District Congressman Ron Estes will be with us here in studio coming up a little bit later this hour to bring us his predictions for retaining the GOP majority in the House, chances of taking control of the Senate, and we'll talk about the supermajorities in the legislature, and we'll wrap up our 2024 candidate profiles with a conversation with Stephanie Wise, candidate for Sedgwick County Commission District 3. Looking forward to having her in office. It'll be a significant upgrade. I doubt I'm going to be seeing my county commissioner endorsing any Democrats anytime soon. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. You don't need me to remind you that Election Day is 2 days from now. And, of course, you know, as happens when elections get close, campaigns do one of two things. If you're confident, you just keep running through the tape. If you're in a panic, you get desperate. And Vice President Kamala Harris has completely dumped the campaign of joy for a new campaign of anger, bitterness, and nastiness. And we've seen it. And we know why, because polling shows Harris has lost momentum. The campaign of joy, nobody bought it. And now, you know, everything she says is Donald Trump is unhinged, unstable, and unchecked. In the last 2 weeks of this campaign, Donald Trump, and by proxy, his supporters, which is us, have been called unhinged, fascists, extremists, Nazis, rapists, racists, well, probably rapists too, but racists, and of course, garbage. I'm sorry, folks. We can disagree. I disagree with folks quite frequently when it comes to politics. I don't think they're garbage. I just think we disagree. But the president of the United States says that we're garbage if we disagree with Kamala Harris. The governor of New York earlier today, the liberal governor of New York, told MSNBC that if you vote for Donald Trump, you are un-American for casting your vote for someone they disagree with. Kamala Harris is not presenting voters with a unifying message that candidates often transition to in the final weeks of a campaign. Instead, they've resorted to name-calling and insults, which again tells me they're desperate. They're in a panic mode. And that bears out in the polling. I mean, cast aside that stupid Iowa poll. Polling shows Harris is losing support among men, black voters, and Hispanic voters, while Trump is running ahead of his 2020 and 2016 performances. And voter registrations and early voting also appear to benefit Trump in the majority of states. For the first time in the campaign, Trump continues to lead in all battleground states, according to Real Clear Politics. So she's ditched joyful for darker tones, for divisive, for angry. She's bitter, she's angry, and she's desperate. And she can't run on her record, so she's running on Orange Man Bad. But I think voters are tired of that old message. You know, four more years of Kamala Harris means continued failures on energy, inflation, and border security. And frankly, America can't afford this. So, are you saying that we don't need to vote? No. Am I saying that we don't need to run through the tape? No. I'm saying that as Republicans, we need to unite and get behind our nominee. We need President Trump's strong leadership and effective solutions to secure a brighter future for our country. Folks, America needs President Donald J. Trump now more than ever. His strong leadership, proven track record, and commitment to putting America first are exactly what we need to restore our greatness, to once again be that beacon on the hill that Ronald Reagan talked about. And in order to do that again, we have to unite and support his vision for a brighter future. We've seen what a Kamala Harris presidency would look like. It'd be another 4 years of Joe Biden. She said as much. She said, I wouldn't change a thing. And another 4 years of the Biden presidency looks like, well, you know, more weak economy, more radical policies, more threats to our economy, our security, and our personal liberties. Is that what you want? Now, quite the closing message from the so-called campaign of joy. If you don't vote Democrat, you're a Nazi, you're Hitler-loving, you're anti-American, you're garbage. And we're seeing the same thing here in Kansas, where Democrats are running campaigns from the same playbook. So desperate to seize power in the legislature, they're manufacturing stories. The county commission, where they're throwing out whatever they can just to try and win a race or keep a seat. And on the state school board, where they will say and do anything just to get elected. We have to vote for Donald Trump as a bulwark against the cultural and governmental excesses of the American left. But we also have to vote Republican, straight ticket, all the way down. And frankly, I'm more worried about the country's future than any problems I may have with Donald Trump. Yes, he's got mean tweets. So what? Yes, his language is not necessarily ready for church. Again, so what? I'm more worried about the impulse to restrict political speech than Donald Trump's mean speech. I'm more worried about the left's demonization of America's origins and the future of Western civilization than the fact that, you know, Donald Trump may not be the most moral character that we've ever elected for president. I'm worried that the basic tenets of society as we know them are under attack, have been under attack, and if we elect Kamala Harris, they will only continue to be under attack. And I know the only way to put an end to this nonsense is for me to vote Trump, and to vote straight ticket Republican. And I only hope the majority of you will do the same. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll wrap up our 2024 candidate profiles with a conversation with Stephanie Wise, candidate for Sedgwick County Commission District 3. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Every Thursday, well, that was last Thursday, so that may have been the last one, but I guarantee you Americans for Prosperity Action is going to be moving into another form. They're going to be involved doing something, whether they're calling into races or doing voter outreach to identify conservative voters. Either way, if you want to make your voice heard, you need to connect with Americans for Prosperity. You can join AFP, get involved, and phone for freedom, or get involved with AFP by visiting AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And of course, while you're online, don't forget to follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. As you know, every election cycle, we try to bring you as many candidates as running for office as we can. Done a pretty good job this year. Brought in a lot of candidates. Wrapping up my candidate session for this election cycle is Sedgwick County Commission District 3 candidate Stephanie Wise. Stephanie, thank you for joining us. Nice to have you back on the show again.
Yeah, thank you, John.
So I know you've been busy. I've seen the Facebook posts. So you've been outdoor knocking. I've heard it. You guys, I think one of your people actually knocked our door, which is good. So it's what we want to see. By the way, we have one of your yard signs in my yard.
So good,
that's my
you.
Endorsement for Stephanie, by the way.
Thank you.
But what are you hearing when you guys are knocking, when, you know, you're out there talking to folks? What's the number one issue?
Number one issue is property tax. And I don't think that's any surprise.
No.
But every door we're knocking on, it's fear and frustration that we're hearing from the individuals, and especially our seniors. Many of them worried that they're going to be taxed out of their home. So we're having a lot of tax conversation, a lot of tax education. A lot of people don't know exactly what the county commission does. And so I think the best thing, and probably my strongest leadership skill, is just teaching and educating. And I think that the more that we're teaching our everyday citizens what their local government is doing for them or against them, the more that they're going to lean in and know how important it is to get out and vote for these local seats.
You know, what's interesting is I think that both you and District 2 candidate Jeff Blueball will actually be real assets to the commission because your real estate background.
Yeah.
Property tax is such a big issue. You need people who know about, I mean, Jim Howell knows about it because he's the hardest researcher that I know in elected office.
Right.
But you two having that background, and in your case, it's commercial and residential.
Just commercial.
Oh, I thought it was. So, but having that commercial background, that's right. Jeff has got the residential side.
Yeah.
So between the two of you, you're going to be able to bring a whole lot of information to that commission that I think they need, because, you know, some of them, like Sarah Lopez, I think maybe a little out of touch with what people are going through. And on the commercial side, people think, well, we could raise taxes on businesses. Having been a small business owner with a retail front, every time my property tax went up, I had to raise prices.
Yeah, I know where your retail front is, and I know how your taxes look, and I know how your water bills look over there.
Yeah, that was brutal.
No, property tax is not a new conversation for me. It's something I've been coaching people and educating people on in my career for the last 13 years. So, my opponent doesn't seem to understand that. I know that she's mentioned raising taxes on her small businesses.
I saw that. What is up with that?
I don't know how a budget hawk doesn't understand that raising taxes on your small businesses and on your commercial property, for one, they're assessed differently, and I don't know that she understands that, but two, we are a highly entrepreneurial community. So when you're raising taxes on a small business, you're not relieving them from their home because you're hitting them on their company side.
Right. And their employees, because
absolutely,
like I said, I'm either going to raise prices, or I'm going to have to take it out on my employees or something, because a business just
can't
come up with.
It's always a pass through.
Right. Thank you. There's always a pass. And you know what's funny? I'm glad you mentioned your opponent. It's Celeste Reset. I'll name her. I don't mind. I mean, she keeps calling wanting on the show. But, and she's a nice enough lady. Don't get me wrong. I like her as a person. But it seems to me like most of her issues are with the city of Wichita. And I can't, it's like, I'm not entirely sure she's still not running for mayor. It's kind of bizarre.
Yeah. Many have said, you know, it's like political schizophrenia. We don't know where she's going or where she's been. But it seems that every topic and every time we talk about a topic, it relates to the city of Wichita and not to the Sedgwick County as a whole.
I noticed that. I saw one of the forums I attended that, and she was constantly hammering on the city of Wichita. And again, I've lived in your county commission district for well over a decade now. And half of my house district is in that. And I really wanted to point out to her, Celeste, you do realize that I would say the vast majority of your district is not in the city of Wichita.
That's right. And the one thing that they're concerned about, if she's asking, is that they're not being seen, heard, or treated like the city of Wichita is. So when you're focused on the city of Wichita, and that's all you know, actually, you're not representing your district well. And so I think that the district's going to show up. I'm really excited about what Tuesday's results will be. We've not only ran a really strong race, but we have so much support. And Republicans can't go to sleep on this. We need them to show up more than anything. So we're excited. We think this is going to be a great Tuesday for us.
Well, I know I was just talking to my buddy Jeff Albers, the Albers family out in Cheney. Mm-hmm. I know they're supporting you.
Yes,
so, and that's a, you know, that's a good example. I'm not entirely sure Celeste even knows Cheney's in the district. So she did do a parade out there, I think. We're talking with Stephanie Wise, candidate for Sedgwick County Commission District 3. Let me get a couple of policy things here. They're somewhat property tax related. At the November 13th Board of County Commission meeting, Sedgwick County Commissioners are likely to be voting on a funding agreement that would provide $2.5 million to the Sedgwick County Zoo for a new elephant barn. Mm-hmm. I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. I mean, it's they're just started their private campaign. I'm curious why they're coming to the taxpayers so early.
Well, I think that the good news is they can run that private campaign, and people really do support the zoo. The zoo is one of our largest assets, and we have got to make sure that they're successful. Now, I think that we can be a partner in that. Let's see what they can do fundraising. I think the community will support them.
I think you're right. I love that idea. Why don't we wait before you come to the taxpayers? Go to the people, you know, call a guy like Wink Hartman and say, hey, you're a famous rich pachyderm. Why don't you put your name on it and give us $10 million or something? You know what I mean?
We really do. We need to have some of our more successful. We have some really good business owners and very successful, wealthy people here in Wichita and surrounding areas. We need them to be engaged. We are really fighting to have the best zoo. We have the best zoo. And what they're doing with the elephants is really, I mean, it's actually really, really cool.
Oh, it's
but
great.
We need to make sure that we can afford it. And while we're battling a tax problem, we need to ensure that we are spending the tax dollars very responsibly.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to ask, you know, little, like you said, the elderly folks, people on a fixed income, to pony up part of their property tax to go to an elephant barn when they're worried about losing their homes.
And that's just where we're going to have to get creative. And I think, you know, you may be bringing it up later, but there's a lot of talk about a tax reform.
Yep, that's actually the next question is that idea of, and I think that's coming up either on that same meeting or on the 20th, where it's that quality of life spending where Sedgwick County government should not be funding through property tax dollars these quality of life areas. And I think it's a good idea to consider. Don't get me wrong. If there's a shortfall, then you can backfill it. But initially the initial funding should come from either user fees or some other mechanism than just to assume property taxes should cover it.
Yeah. I'm so excited that they're having that conversation. I'm not sure that I'm committed to either proposal that's out there now, but I think that the conversations go in the right direction. And I think that property tax payers are being thought of a lot by the board now, and even more so after Tuesday when we, well, I guess after January when we get the new commissioner sworn in. We care about our taxpayers. We care about not only holding the line, but also these quality of life items that they're very important to our growth of our economy. So how do we support those while also being very responsible with tax dollars?
Yep.
So we've got good people that that will be on that board, I think, and very excited to do that for our community.
I think you're right. I think we're going to have a significant upgrade on the county commission, and I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys can do. thank you again for joining us. If folks want more information, if they want a yard sign, we know you're going to have campaign debt. You guys have money that you still need to raise, even though the campaigns are over, they're ending Tuesday. If folks want to donate, if they want to help, it's wiseforsedgwickcounty.com, correct?
That's right. That's right. And we are so excited to connect with people. If you reach out on that website, it goes straight to my phone. You'll get an email right back from me or a phone call to answer any questions that there might be. But right now, we are just begging and pleading you to do your part and show up and vote. I went on Saturday, and there was a 20-minute wait. It was really fast. So, guys, we've got 2 days.
Yep, and we do need to get out to vote. That is so important. Stephanie, again, thank you very much. Thanks for joining us, and just carry on the fight. Run through the tape.
That's right. Thanks, John.
We'll take a quick break, and then 4th District Congressman Ron Estes will be with us live here in studio to bring us his predictions for the GOP majority in the House, the chances of taking the Senate, and the supermajorities in the Kansas legislature. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Well, if you ever miss an episode, don't worry about it. We've got you covered. We post clips of all our shows, as well as single hours, entire segments, and of course, the entire show as one audio file. And lots to choose from. Just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. This is a good song, by the way. Good intro piece for Ron Estes. I appreciate it. Nice job,
Phil. That's a great song. I really like that.
That is. That's a good version. That's the new version where he's singing with members of the military, right? The armed forces. Yeah, that's a good. If you haven't seen that video, by the way, I think I posted it on my Facebook page and on Twitter. But you should check that out. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a really good version of the song. With us now is our 4th District Congressman, Ron Estes. Ron, thank you for joining us this
evening. It's great to be here, John.
And we'll be with you Tuesday night, right? You're hosting the watch party.
Having a victory party on Tuesday night.
I'm knocking. Let's hope we don't jinx it, but yes.
It'll
be a victory for you.
It'll be a victory for a lot of people. I think it's so important. I think when you look at people go to the polls. They have been for the last couple of weeks and will continue through Tuesday. I mean, they just see what's going on in the country.
Yeah.
And they see a very clear-cut choice between what the Democrats have done with the policies that they've implemented the last 4 years versus what Republicans are campaigning on and what they did when President Trump was in office.
I attended a fundraiser with you. Well, I attended a couple fundraisers with you over the last few weeks, but you shared a couple of stories. I wasn't aware that you've been actually traveling with the Speaker of the House, with Mike Johnson, to some of these battleground states to help get Republicans elected. Can you tell me a little bit about that, and then tell us what your thoughts are regarding the chances of retaining the House?
Yeah, I think I forget the number, but I think the Speaker's been to about 250 different cities in 40 different states since he's been in office over the last year, and helping raise money and supporting candidates. So I went up with him in Nebraska and Iowa. And actually, we're campaigning for 3 different candidates up there. And then, I left to come back and stopped in Johnson County, with a get out the vote rally in Johnson County, while the Speaker was going on to Michigan, to campaign for some other folks. So, you know, it's so important for us. I mean, I believe strongly President Trump's going to get elected. And it's important that we keep the House. And, you know, one of the things that we've seen is after President Biden's disastrous debate, the Democrat donors saw that, they were going to lose to the Republicans in the Senate. They were going to lose the White House. So they started putting a lot of money against, House candidates. And so, we've seen some of those races that were in really good shape have tightened up over the last 3 months. And, so that's one of the reasons why we're out helping other members to get reelected so that, we can actually make sure that we can implement good policy, because a lot of the policy starts in the House.
You know, you've had to work with both Hakeem Jeffries and Nancy Pelosi. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I think Nancy Pelosi was, any gem to work with, I can imagine. That being said, every time Hakeem Jeffries opens his mouth to speak about you or us, you know, for that matter, we're MAGA extremists. It seems like he never has anything positive to say. At least Pelosi was a little more diplomatic. Can you give me an idea how bad would it be if we wake up on Wednesday morning and it's Speaker Hakeem Jeffries going to be Speaker Hakeem?
Yeah, it really would be bad because even going back to when Kevin McCarthy was selected Speaker and Hakeem Jeffries was the first time as the Democrat minority leader, and instead of doing following the tradition of recognizing the new speaker,
I remember
even the
this.
Person of
yeah.
the other party, he made it all a pitch about himself. And
yeah,
about the
I remember
Democrats
that speech.
Nation.
It was really partisan and negative.
And that's not the role. That's not what you're supposed to do in that scenario. I mean, we have elections, and unfortunately, sometimes the people that have the bad policy are elected, but you still respect who's in the office and work through that. And that's that would be a problematic and particularly problematic if for some reason the Democrats were to win either the House or the Senate, but particularly the House, because the President Trump would effectively be handcuffed, and the House would, you'd just see all these fake impeachment hearings start up again,
exactly
what they did before when Speaker Pelosi was in the majority.
You think they'd start that nonsense again?
They would start that nonsense again. Yes. I mean, because
on the same stuff or just wait for something new?
They wouldn't wait. I mean, they'd either start talking about the same stuff or continue on or make up some new stuff. I mean, you go back and through and look at all the stuff. I mean, they lied about Hunter Biden's laptop.
Right.
And they
Russia
they,
collusion.
They, yeah,
all
they, the, yeah. The whole Russia collusion was created by the Democrat National Committee and Hillary Clinton paid to have this, the Russiagate aspect created. And then they got some of the members in the FBI and the Department of Justice that were political, biased, and instead of doing their job, they actually focused on that. They ignored all of the payments that were coming into Hunter Biden and his tax fraud and other issues, and actually didn't want to communicate around what President Biden had been doing and what his connection was to Hunter's business. And so they'll make up stuff if they can't, if there's no factual basis to do it.
You were talking with 4th District Congressman Ron Estes. You mentioned the Senate. I think we're positioned pretty well there. I talked to Roger Marshall not too long ago, and he was feeling pretty confident. What do you think? I mean, are you feeling good there?
I think the Senate's really looking good. And in fact, I mean, I think the Democrats recognize they're going to lose the majority in the Senate. I mean, once Senator Manchin from West Virginia said he wasn't going to come back, and now if you look at polling, Tim Sheehy up in Montana is 6 to 8 points ahead of Joe Tester up there. And so that would make it 51 if you add that to West Virginia. And then you look at 4 or 5 swing states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio, Wisconsin, where there's really, really nip and tuck Senate races as well. And I think President Trump's going to do well there, and I think it's going to help with the Senate races. And, you know, we potentially could even have a Republican senator from Maryland because the Republican governor Hogan is doing well campaigning in Maryland.
Yeah, Larry Hogan, who's running, you know, away from Trump, which you do what you need to do to win, pal. If it helps us win a Senate majority, I'll take it.
Yeah, and that's the important part, particularly in terms of having a majority on either chamber, but on the Senate in particular, because they've frequently or on occasion have been 50-50. At that point in time, obviously, then the vice president is the tie-breaking vote.
Yeah.
However, they have to have even numbers on the committees, which makes it tougher to set your policy and make sure that those priorities are addressed.
You at some of these fundraisers, I think every one of them actually, you were there with either the speaker or the Senate president. A lot of the conversation has been retaining the House and Senate supermajorities. That is so important because, frankly, Laura Kelly, in her last 2 years, she is going to go all holds out because she has nothing else holding her back. If we don't have those supermajorities, that's so important in the Kansas legislature.
Yeah, and I mean, I think part of that gets back to the whole reason our government structured the way it is to have checks and balances, and to have a legislature that can actually stand up to a governor and actually promote what the people want.
Right.
And particularly in a scenario where a governor is a lame duck and doesn't have to worry about what the voters care about. And goes and promotes positions. And we've already seen that's kind of been the method of operation from Governor Kelly over the last 6 years that she's been in office. Is she's been overridden. She's vetoed more bills and I think been overridden more times than any other governor in Kansas history.
Yeah.
And it's a reflection that she's really not wanting to govern for things that are good for Kansas. She's wanting to govern for her own particular biases and pet projects.
And control. She's big in control.
And control. Yeah. And so it is important and having that checks and balances in the Kansas House of Representatives and in the Kansas Senate is to make sure that there is a veto override capability, just to make sure that things keep on the up and up, and that you can get a budget passed and it's all just not roughshod, and so it's important. That's what we've been out as we've seen a lot of campaigning across the state in terms of making sure that people get reelected and ideally, I think they're looking to maybe add to their numbers in some seats.
I think there's a chance. And I think another nice thing is some of the votes that were quote unquote Republican, but were either troublemakers or didn't vote with us very often have either retired or lost in primaries. So I think we're going to be in a position that's benefits us even more so. It'll be a little more reliably Republican, shall we say.
Yeah, that's probably true. Also, it's, when you look at this and you look at good policy that comes out as a Kansan, I want to make sure we have good policy that's agreed to by the legislature and the governor. But, in Washington, I even see some of that problems where, somebody comes up to me and says, well, you're governor in Kansas, which is a reliable Republican state, said X, Y, and Z. And, without the legislature there to provide that checks and balances, it's an important issue that we make sure that we get good policy in place.
I mentioned when we first started the segment that you're hosting the election party. It's the Keeping Kansas Red Victory Party. It's coming up Tuesday night. KNSS will be there. I'll be there broadcasting live as part of our election night coverage. Folks can RSVP. It's at the Cozine Event Center, but folks can RSVP at EstisForCongress.com/victory, correct?
That's right. That's right. That's our EstisForCongress.com/victory. We have the folks there at the Cozine Event Center have been so helpful in helping get that set up. And to work with. And we want to be able to have a place where a lot of candidates can come out and a lot of voters can come out and activists to be able to talk about and spend time with candidates and share on, not just the successes in Kansas, but also across the country.
Hope it's right. I do have one more very, very important question to ask you. And that is, did you get the milk and the eggs? Because I've seen that commercial and I've seen the list on the wall and I know Susan very well. And if you don't get that milk and eggs, you're going to be on the bad, and you do not want to be on Susan's bad list.
Yeah. Well, I will say this for sure is that I'm headed to the grocery store from here. So.
Ron, if folks want to connect with you, I have to be honest with you. I have actually stolen more than one of my daily carry-on commentaries from articles that I have found in your Ron's Reads, which is a daily newsletter that comes out weekly newsletter comes out. It's called Ron's Reads. It's phenomenal. Links to articles. The thing I like about it most is it's not just position statements. You actually put the links in there so folks can actually read and fact check you.
Yep.
If folks are interested and they want to subscribe to Ron's Reads, where can they go?
Yeah. So, I guess in general, we just want to make sure that we have, we get facts out so people have that at their fingertips.
Yeah. And you
to
do
be
that.
Able to get access to that. And I'll give people both the campaign as well as the official website they can go to. They can go to estis.house.gov for official information. Sign up for a newsletter there. Or as we mentioned, go to estisforcongress.com for our campaign updates and information. And that's, we keep the two separate. And obviously we want to make sure that we use taxpayer dollar wisely, and we don't necessarily use them for self-promotion, but we want to make sure that people have access to information, whether it deals with official activity or for campaign activity.
Well, like I said, the Ron's reads have been fantastic. There's some great articles and great information. I find it very useful. Yeah. So.
And we get together and we talk each week about different things, and different folks in the staff come up with things that they've seen that are out there. It's a great way to be able to get good information out there in people's fingertips.
Well, again, that's EstesForCongress.com. Yes. And Ron, I guess I will see you Tuesday night. Cozine.
That sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.
Appreciate you, my friend. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. Have you voted yet? Are you undecided? Are you a Never Trumper? Do we need an intervention? Either way, studio lines are open. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Make your voice heard. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org to sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. It's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
I want to congratulate all of the Republican primary winners. During this primary cycle, we have supported and worked actively for opposing candidates. But now it is time we unite as Republicans headed into the general election. There is much to be done, and as conservatives and Republicans, we are better together and united. I, for one, am ready to work and deliver a victory for Donald Trump and the rest of our Kansas GOP candidates up and down the ballot. Now is the time to come together, but we must also hold accountable those who won. Campaign promises are one thing. Delivering on those promises are what matters. All too often, politicians say they think what voters want to hear in order to get elected, and then forget those promises once they get into office. Rest assured, all Kansas voters will be watching.
Well, and our time to hold them accountable is drawing nigh. If you haven't voted already, obviously, Tuesday's your chance, folks. I mean, you could vote tomorrow, but if you're like me, you're kind of a stick in the mud. You'd like to actually vote on Election Day. Trust me, my wife and I will be out there on Tuesday voting. Want to remind you that this time of year, sponsorships for the John Whitmer Show are available. If you're interested, if you'd like information about sponsoring the show, you can email me at john@knssradio.com. Want to also remind you, one of our new sponsors, Eck Insurance, is sending the show to Topeka. We'll be broadcasting live from Topeka starting next January. So starting in January, once a month, we'll be broadcasting live from Topeka. Looking forward to that. Thank you to Eck Insurance. Nick, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thanks for sticking around.
Good evening, John. How are you doing?
Fine, Nick. How are you, sir? I saw you, actually. You were in a news clip sitting in the background at a marijuana hearings recently. I knew that when I saw they were having joint hearings on marijuana, I knew you'd be there.
Well, we always like to make sure that cannabis freedom is on top of the list as far as conservative principles go, limited government, individual liberty, and all that. But I will say that it is important to, vote. Go out and vote, and I would say vote Republican up and down, regardless of if you don't like mean tweets or certain policy positions, such as the cannabis issue that we're still trying to sharpen our swords on and everything. Go out and vote Republican and make sure that we keep the values, the traditional values, the principles that we say we're for intact and not go down a Marxist, communist, progressive road that will destroy our country and our state.
So, you're absolutely right, Nick.
I look forward to the debates and the fun time with the agriculture issue, and I'm not going to quit. We're gonna win that one through principle, not populism, but through principled conservatism. And but for now, let's rally behind all the Republicans, even Tyler Sweeley, and of course Stephen Owens, God bless him, and everybody else. But let's get out there and vote and do our duty so we can keep our country for our posterity, our children and our grandchildren. John Whitmer, I love your show. God bless.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you listening. He's right. You know, and it's funny, Nick and I definitely don't see eye to eye necessarily on marijuana. I mean, I don't think marijuana and conservative necessarily belong in the right sentence, in the same sentence, but we are united when it comes to making sure that we don't elect Democrats, because we're going to agree a heck of a lot more with our fellow Republicans than we are with the D's. Jeremy, I've got about a minute. You're on the John Whitmer Show.
Hi, John. First time listener, but,
well, thank you for listening.
I just wanted to get your take on Jeff Lubaugh's wife showing up at the poll site with her campaign shirt or her husband's campaign shirt on. And
I can tell you from knowing all parties involved, first off, I don't like it whenever spouses or kids get brought into politics. I think it's just nasty, dirty, below the belt. I also know some behind the scenes. There's a lot more to that story than what has been reported in the media. But, you know, you're not supposed to wear, it's not electioneering if it doesn't say vote for or elect. So technically it's not, by technical interpretation, it's not necessarily a violation. Depending on how you interpret it, that'll depend on the court if they want, or the DA if they want to bother to charge. I doubt they will, because you know it's so minor. It's like people who bring up issues about zip codes because there's been accusations there too. And I say, look, people care more about tax codes than zip codes. I think, frankly, and Jeremy, I appreciate the call. I think, frankly, you know, people are going to care a heck of a lot more about Jeff Lubaugh is being willing to cut taxes and, you know, Sarah Lopez, who voted to raise your taxes and voted for her own pay raise at the same time. So stick around. We'll be back with Dinesh D'Souza. Be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Don't forget, you can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS Radio, and make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Donald Trump is unquestionably the most unique and charismatic figure in American politics since Ronald Reagan. Yet despite his familiarity on the public stage, he remains an enigmatic, mysterious figure to many. Not since Lincoln has a man drawn such intensely opposite responses of love and hate, and even in Lincoln's case, the intensity was over the issue of slavery. With Trump, the intensity is over the man himself. How can the same man inspire such radically opposite reactions? To the point that there are some who would take a bullet for him and others who want to celebrate the would-be assassin who actually attempted to take his life. This is the Trump enigma. Dinesh D'Souza, author of Vindicating Trump, has had a prominent career as a writer, scholar, public intellectual, and filmmaker. Born in India, D'Souza came to the U.S. as an exchange student at the age of 17 and graduated Phi Beta Kappa from Dartmouth College. The author of many best-selling books, including America, The Big Lie, Death of a Nation, and United States of Socialism, he is also the creator of 3 of the top 10 highest-grossing political documentaries ever made. Dinesh, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
I got to start with, the left loves to call former President Trump a tyrant and portray his election to a second term as some sort of existential threat to democracy. If he didn't do anything tyrannical in his first term in office, then why do his critics say this about him? What is it that they're so convinced that a second term is going to end up as some off with their head moment?
I think that they know that the charge is bogus, but it is a good question as to why they make it. And I say that because the left had accusations to throw against, say, the two Bushes or against Reagan, but they didn't use that one. They would say, oh, Reagan's a washed-up movie actor, but they didn't say Reagan is threatening to subvert democracy or is an existential danger to America. I think the reason that they say this about Trump is he is an 800-pound gorilla that is threatening a new tyrannical regime that the left and the Democrats have been cooking up since the days of Obama. I mean, if you look at the elements of tyranny, look at societies around the world that are tyrannical or unfree, what do they have? Well, they have mass surveillance of citizens. They have systematic censorship. They have criminalization of political differences. They have attempts to lock up the leader of the opposition party. And hey, we have all those things, but they're certainly not coming from Trump. They're coming from the left and from the Democrats.
So essentially what you're saying is Trump isn't the one imposing the tyrannical regime. They are. And so they're trying to project that onto him. So again, it's don't look at us, look at him. They're trying to deny, don't listen to your lying eyes, essentially.
Yes, and I'm also saying that while they call Trump a threat to the country and to our constitutional system, he is a threat, but he's only a threat to them.
Right.
And so they are trying to sort of create a bogus idea. Hey, you need to be really scared of Donald Trump, whereas in reality, the only ones that do need to be scared are the ones that are trying to tighten, in a sense, the tyrannical noose around our neck.
Well, and the other thing that I think the people who actually need to be scared are the ones who are the threat to democracy. You know, Donald Trump has no desire to go after, say, oh, I don't know, lawful gun owners. He doesn't have any desire to go after citizens, but he does want to go after criminals. He does want to go after those who are here illegally. And those are the people that Democrats are trying to defend.
Yes. You know, Lincoln, if we flash back to history, in an early speech he gave called the Lyceum Speech, he predicted that there will come a regime in our society that will promote lawlessness on a mass scale. And he says then they will create a Caesar, a kind of a tyrant who will exploit this lawlessness, and that is what will subvert our constitutional republic. I think when we see, for example, the aliens, including many criminal aliens, flooding our border, but they're doing it with the open arms welcome of the Biden-Harris administration, this is a dire fulfillment of what Lincoln had warned about a century and a half ago. We're seeing it happen before our eyes. And Trump, in a way, has the stature, the magnitude, the strength to stand up against it. You know, any other Republican, for example, facing two criminal charges would have exited the race, fled the field. Trump has a strength, a tenacity, a determination, even a political bravery that I really haven't seen in American politics in my lifetime.
You highlighted the immigration threat in one of your documentaries. Another one that you exposed was your documentary 2000 Mules. I was amazed, frankly, at some of the response, particularly here locally, from people who saw the film. It exposed some of the widespread coordinated voter fraud in the 2020 election. I know a lot of our listeners who saw the film were alarmed, frankly, by what they saw. Are you at all concerned that we will see any of that again with this year's election?
Well, I think the good news is that there is greater attention to the issue. There's some progress both on the legal, the judicial, and the election integrity front. On the other hand, I think that the Democrats are getting a little desperate. If you look at some of these betting markets, You can see that Trump seems to be pulling away from Kamala Harris. And so the Democrats are a bit like a cornered animal, which is always a dangerous thing. And now, I do think that you can't do the fraud in exactly the same way that it was done as depicted in 2000 Mules, because quite honestly, if mules show up in the middle of the night with big backpacks full of ballots, they're going to be patriots who are looking for that and waiting for them. So I think that they will maybe try to cheat in a different and perhaps newly ingenious way. And so we need a lot of vigilance on our side to make sure that doesn't happen.
We're talking with best-selling author Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh, according to recent polls, former President Donald Trump leads Vice President Kamala Harris in 5 of the 7 pivotal swing states. And I think you and I both know that Trump historically underperforms in polling. Do you think that are you optimistic about the outcome? Is his margin of victory maybe getting too big to rig?
I hope so. I do think that there's a widespread sense in the country that things have been going badly.
Yeah.
And there's an iron law in politics that when that conviction settles in the mind of Americans, they're going to want to throw the bums out. I mean, they're going to want to eject the existing regime. This is really why Kamala Harris is trying this very sneaky, let's turn the page, as if to say that Trump is in office and she represents change. The whole thing is sort of laughable and ludicrous, but there's a massive media engine behind it. By the way, all of this is contradicted and exposed in my new film called Vindicating Trump, which is now streaming. It's also available in DVD. And vindicatingtrump.com is the website where you can get the movie and also an accompanying book of the same title.
It's great minds think alike. I'm so glad that you brought up Kamala Harris and this new, for lack of a better term, rebranding. I saw something on your Twitter feed, by the way, and I love your X feed. I still get calling it Twitter. It's old habits die hard. The Sentinel Action Fund has a new ad out that perfectly illustrates how Harris is desperately trying to mislead voters. But for lack of a better way of phrasing it, once a radical, always a radical.
I made that very clear in 2020. I will not ban fracking. There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So, yeah. Tim Walz and I are both gun owners. We're not taking anybody's guns away.
We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program.
We have laws that have to be followed and enforced that address and deal with people who cross our border illegally.
And the idea that we would have a president of the United States that vilifies immigrants, that wants to build what I call his vanity project, a multi-billion dollar wall.
We have also increased domestic gas production to historic levels.
The future of transportation in our nation and around the world is electric.
My values have not changed.
It would be laughable if it wasn't so threatening, really. Dinesh, are you concerned at all that voters might be falling for this nonsense?
I think that people are pretty smart. You know, there's no question. At some level, I guess you could say the very fact that this election is close is a bad reflection on the IQ of the American people. But on the other hand, you got to remember a lot of the Americans in the middle are getting a relentless barrage of coordinated media propaganda. And a lot of those people don't hear anything different. They don't hear from our side. They don't hear from the other side. And so it is a testament to the shrewdness of the American people that quite a few of them, I think an increasing number, are seeing through the fog and are not buying this kind of sales package on the ridiculous Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I love the fact you brought up the turn the page, because she tried to do that in her recent Fox News interview with Bret Baier, where she's still trying to blame Donald Trump for Biden administration problems as if she hadn't been in office for 3.5 years. And I love the fact that Baier at least pointed out that, well, wait a minute, if you wanted to do all these things, you've had 3.5 years, why didn't you do it? And if we're turning the page, why aren't we turning the page from you?
Quite right. I mean, there's a kind of fundamental vacancy, mental vacancy and silliness to Kamala Harris. And in contrast, if we remember back to Trump, I mean, Trump came in as an outsider, there was relentless pressure on him because they were using the police agencies of his own administration to go after him. This was the Russia collusion hoax. And at the same time, he was doing massive things, both on the domestic and the foreign policy front, and making it look easy. I mean, earlier presidents are like, well, I want to move the embassy to Jerusalem, but I don't know how to do it. Trump's like, here, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
Abraham Accords, the dealings with Kim Jong-un, the deterrence on Iran and Putin, the tax deal on the economy. Trump was like, I'll show you that this stuff of running the country and perhaps the world isn't all that hard. He made the experts look silly.
You've got a new book out. It's called Vindicating Trump. It's available on Amazon. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. One of the peculiarities of Trump is he doesn't actually make the case for himself, even though he's under all kinds of attack. And he does a Trumpian shtick at his rallies and so on. So the book is an argument for Trump. And it's an argument that begins with the premise that here you've got this man, and I've never seen a political figure under such sort of relentless attack. You almost have to go back to Lincoln to find a president who was so loathed and hated. And by the way, that loathing led ultimately to a successful assassination attempt against Lincoln. With Trump, we've already had two unsuccessful attempts. But even in Lincoln's case, the controversy and the hatred was over Lincoln's policies and over the Republican Party's policies, not over the man. With Trump, it is over the man. So the book is a vindication of Trump, the man, as well as his policies. And there's an accompanying movie of the same title, which is available at VindicatingTrump.com.
And have you got any other new documentaries coming that we should be looking for? I remember that response to 2000 Mules was, frankly, I was shocked at the positive response to that. Have you got anything else we should be looking out for?
Well, some of the themes of election fraud are in the new film. There's a rather disturbing section called The Ballot Makers, which... In 2000 Mules, I was looking back, in a year and a half to the 2020 election. Now I'm looking forward to sort of think, if I put myself in the mind of the criminals, how would I try to cheat in the 2024 election? So there's some fascinating material to that effect in the new book and movie. And so I'm really focused on this project because of the urgency and timeliness of it. And of course, the stakes in the 2024 election.
Dinesh, we really appreciate you joining us. Thank you again. If folks are interested, they can obviously find you online at DineshDeSouza.com. And you're on X. I follow you on X. You're at Dinesh D'Souza, correct?
Yes, I am. That is my X handle. And the movie handle is just simply VindicatingTrump.com.
And the book, again, is available on Amazon. Again, we appreciate you joining us. Thank you. We appreciate you again, my friend.
Thank you very much.
We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. Donald Trump is neck and neck with Kamala Harris, according to the polls. Most recent ones have the presidential race too close to call. What do you think? Is the race really as close as the polls indicate? You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. Give me a call. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. You can join AFP at any time to get involved, to get activated. They've got phenomenal information. If you want to, we got Thanksgiving coming up. You got a liberal coming to the Thanksgiving table and you need talking points. You need facts. You need data. AFP is your source. Trust me. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Volunteer, get engaged, make your voice heard, and be informed on the issues. And of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. It's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
I want to congratulate all of the Republican primary winners. During this primary cycle, we have supported and worked actively for opposing candidates. But now it is time we unite as Republicans headed into the general election. There is much to be done, and as conservatives and Republicans, we are better together and united. I, for one, am ready to work and deliver a victory for Donald Trump and the rest of our Kansas GOP candidates up and down the ballot. Now is the time to come together, but we must also hold accountable those who won. Campaign promises are one thing. Delivering on those promises are what matters. All too often, politicians say they think what voters want to hear in order to get elected, and then forget those promises once they get into office. Rest assured, all Kansas voters will be watching.
So I mentioned before we went into the break that Trump and Harris are neck and neck in battleground states, with now under 48 hours until Election Day, according to most polls. Across all the battleground states, this is some interesting data. This is actually from a New York Times poll, so it's clearly not a right-wing organization. But across the battleground states, 24% of the likely voters said the economy was their number one issue, which is hands above people who think the economy is their number one issue vote Trump, which includes jobs in the stock markets, their top issue. Followed by abortion at 18%, that's a Democrat issue, and immigration at 15%. Well, that's a Republican issue. So right there, you've got 39% of likely voters right there already leaning towards Trump because of policy positions. Harris is underperforming compared to President. Again, this is New York Times. Harris is underperforming compared to President Biden in 2020. Among younger voters, black voters and Latino voters. So, I mean, I'm telling you, this is, again, we need to, as I've said during my monologue, we need to run through the tape. But things are looking very good. I just got a Facebook message to the show asking for my predictions. I hate making predictions. But I will. So you can always message the John Whitmer Show on Facebook. If we're live on the show, I'll take your message. So this messenger wanted me to give a prediction. Look, I think you get one of two outcomes. First off, there will be no blowout for Harris. That I don't predict. So you're either going to have a very narrow margin on one side or the other, either very narrow for Harris or very narrow for Trump, or a blowout for Trump. That's my prediction. I'm leaning towards the latter. I think there's just a shot. I mean, if you look at the voter turnout numbers, are record numbers, and they're all leaning Republican. Registered voters, records leaning all Republican. If we go into these key states with the advantage in advanced voting, and then we still have the same day voter turnout numbers where it, Republicans always outpace Democrats on election day, it could be a, you know, you could very well see Trump win the, both the Electoral College and the general.
You know, John, you mentioned something, and I saw something this morning about the people getting out and voting early. And
yeah,
they were saying that there have been, in some states, especially battleground states, record number of Republican, registered Republican voters, which is something that hasn't happened in 2016, 2020. That's very encouraging for this election cycle.
No, I mean, and you, that is actually the key, is we are seeing record numbers of voter turnouts in these battleground states. Well, really, everywhere you're seeing record numbers of voter turnout in advanced ballots. And that's new for us, for Republicans. We've traditionally, I mean, I know I've been on a ballot and I've worked on a lot of campaigns, and traditionally we're like, okay, that first drop is going to be bad for us and then we'll make it up. Well, if the first drop that we see that comes in either right at 7 o'clock or when polls close or soon after is tied, we're sitting pretty good, folks. We're sitting pretty, pretty good. Ed, you're on the John Whitmer show.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I've never heard him mention this plane. If you vote for a certain one, you're going to get communism and tyranny. You vote for the other one, you're going to have freedom and liberty. No one said that.
Well, Dinesh D'Souza, I think, literally just said that.
Nobody's listening. And it won't take them long, either.
No, and I think you're right. That is, and I appreciate the call, that is their, I mean, that's what they're pushing. That's the agenda. Kamala Harris is a socialist.
She was, keep in mind, folks, she was voted the most liberal senator at the time. She voted with Bernie Sanders. She co-sponsored legislation with Bernie Sanders. She's a socialist. And that is the choice. You're looking at that communist socialist empower, grow government, big taxes, big spending versus a free market capitalist who believes that you should be the one who determines how you spend your money, not government. And it's really that simple. And the rest of it just doesn't matter. It really doesn't. And I think we've got to get past some of the name callings and fascists and Nazis and all that stuff and just get down to the bottom line, which is, you know, the ultimate question that faces every voter every election cycle. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And the answer is a resounding no. So if you're not better off now than you were 4 years ago, you know who to vote for. And I know this audience. I'm preaching to choir with this audience, except maybe Jeremy. But I'm preaching to choir here. And you know, that's the bottom line, folks. That's the bottom line. We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then the CEO of Newsmax, Christopher Ruddy, will join us to discuss media bias, the Newsmax IPO, and the latest developments in the presidential election. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Love this song. Nicely done, Phil. Love this song. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Speaking of sponsors, don't forget the John Whitmer Show. We're selling our sponsorships for 2025. Now, if you're interested, shoot me an email, john@knssradio.com. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or texting Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And, of course, while you're at it, like and follow the Facebook page. Follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Christopher Ruddy is CEO of Newsmax Media, the parent company of Newsmax, America's fastest growing cable news channel. He's a noted journalist and entrepreneur. Newsmax.com ranks consistently as one of the country's most trafficked news websites. As a journalist, Ruddy previously worked at the New York Post and the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Chris, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Well, great to be on with you, John. It's so always great. You're one of the great voices there, and Newsmax is great. Glad to be with you.
Well, I appreciate that. It's very nice of you to say. Let's get right to it. I mean, the election is, you know, just 2 days away, basically. Polling looks positive for the former president, especially since the current president referred to all of us as garbage. But it's close. You've known President Trump for more than 25 years. You know, if you had to guess, can he win? Where do you think we're at?
Well, he certainly can win. I mean, that's clear. I think if we had a fair media in this country, he would have won. Had he not been outspent by the Democrats 2 or 3 to 1, he would definitely win. It's still going to be close. It looks like he's slightly ahead. Keep your fingers crossed. We only have another day or so to go, and we'll know the final results. So we're going to be covering this on Newsmax nonstop. We have incredible look coverage. We begin at 5 o'clock with Greta Van Susteren. Ed Henry, formerly of Fox, is with Newsmax. He'll be on. Katrina Suzish, and just a great lineup of people on the Newsmax cable channel. As you know, we're in 60 million cable systems.
Right.
We're in all the major cable channels. We just added YouTube TV. So if you get YouTube TV, you can find us under Newsmax. So it's exciting, and I think we're going to have, like President Trump says, it's his favorite network. I wonder why. So tune in.
The polls were wrong in 16 and 20. You have argued that, as you put it, shy Trump voters can make a huge difference in this election. You said recently the election was Trump's to lose. Are you really that confident?
Yeah. I mean, so the Gallup study did a poll that showed what I asked the Americans, what are the issues you're concerned about you're voting on? They had eight major issues and things like the economy, jobs, inflation, immigration, the border, security, health care. And you know what? Of the eight issues, Donald Trump was better. The voters said Donald Trump was better to handle those issues of seven of the eight issues.
Yeah.
Seven of the eight. When they ask people who's better for the economy, he wins like by 5 points. CNBC had it. Who's better for your personal finances? He won 2-1. It's odd that somebody that has those type of numbers is neck and neck. So, you know, I think the Democrats, the country's demographically divided. The Democrats are very good scientifically and organized to get out the votes. Frankly, they're better than Republicans. And then the media is against Trump. So Trump has obstacles to overcome. But generally, the voters are moving in his direction. And I personally think it's very powerful.
Well, and I think there's a large contingent of Trump voters who are pro-life, pro-gun, get-off-my-porch folks that just don't like to take polls. And I think that's pretty typical, but I could be wrong. We're talking with Christopher Ruddy, CEO of Newsmax. Chris, we're you know, 1 week before Election Day, so say this time last week, a new analysis from the Media Research Center came out, found that broadcast evening news coverage of the 2024 presidential race has been the most lopsided in history since July. ABC, CBS, and NBC have treated Vice President Harris to 78% positive coverage, while these same networks pummeled Donald Trump with 85% negative coverage. You've been in media for a long time, over a couple decades. Have you ever seen media bias this obvious?
It's disgusting. We've never seen the media used to have a pretense of being fair. They make a little bit of an effort to have both sides. Now they've completely just given up. We saw in the debate with J.D. Vance, we saw in the debate with Trump, with the fact checking him, but not the Democrats. We see this all the time where they go out of their way to help and downplay anything with the Republicans, upplay anything that's bad for Trump. So, it's very disappointing. The Gallup study showed that Americans have the lowest confidence in media ever. I mean, it's off the charts bad. So that, I think, is and Newsmax, okay, we're media, but we're growing wildly. Our confidence numbers are up, according to Nahana Mishuka, up by like 20%. And then our numbers third quarter, we had 33 million people tune into Newsmax. That was up from 21 million. That doesn't happen in media like this.
No.
45% increase. And then we're top 10 cable news network, top 4 in cable news. We're very close to overtaking CNN. We just added YouTube TV. Reuters Institute did a study recently about media in the U.S., and they found out that Newsmax was one of the top 12 news brands in the United States. We're a little Newsmax. Now we're one of the top 12. Why is it? Because people are voting, John, with their remote controls,
right,
their downloads, their apps. They're going not only to Newsmax, they're going to Newsmax.com. They're downloading our app, which is free on their smartphones and their home TVs. They're going to us in droves, and they're going, and the numbers are huge. And I think we're at the front of a revolution here in taking back the media. And we all know Fox News, unfortunately, is changing. It's not what it used to be. And people are turning off Fox or switching to Newsmax.
I mean, I've got the app on my phone. I get your headlines. And you mentioned it. You've mentioned it twice now that the Newsmax just signed with YouTube TV. That puts the cable channel in close to 60 million U.S. homes. Are you at all worried about YouTube TV labeling you as, quote, conservative media and then censoring your content? That has been something that has been threatened with other, you know, they threatened Joe Rogan with some of that with YouTube TV. Are you at all concerned about that?
So there's two parts to YouTube. There's the free channel, the free videos that people can go on to and watch videos. It's the number one video provider. And then they have a pay TV service. It's a cable service. And they have all the major channels on there, including now Newsmax. So you have to pay for that. They haven't since sought to censor us. We have had some issues on the free side, on the free video side of YouTube. Other people have. I think they shouldn't be involved in censorship issues. They obviously added Newsmax, so I can't be too angry with them to their cable lineup. They know that we have a very strong point of view. I'm not so sure they're against conservatives per se. They obviously have certain hot button issues like vaccines and January 6th and other topics that it seems to be difficult to get through on some of them. I don't think that these social media platforms should be censoring. I'm against it, whether they do it, whether Facebook does it, Twitter, any of these groups.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole point of it is it should be an open, free and open platform for discussion, whether you agree with the content or not, as long as it's not hate speech. But even then, you know, who defines what hate speech is? I mean, you had, you know, early days of the Biden-Harris administration, and this whole concept now where they come out with misinformation and they want to, who defines what's misinformation?
They've defined this as something, you know, the facts they don't like become misinformation.
Right, right.
So it's sort of like the follow the science. You know, I actually believe there are two biological genders, male and female. I think it's a scientific fact.
What a novel concept.
The Y chromosome. Now we're told, well, that's just your point of view. And if you claim it, you're misinforming people. Well, what about the science? Well, we don't need the science anymore. We have gender ideology. I didn't even know gender was an ideology. It's now an ideology. I mean, this is how insane they have gotten. Where common sense, I believe illegal aliens are people that enter the United States illegally. I think they should be treated humanely, but I think they're illegals and I think they're aliens. And, you know, in the Associated Press, I'm not allowed to put that in an article. And that's considered hate speech.
Right.
I don't understand why it's hate speech. I'm just, you know, if you know, you engage in illegal activity, they call President Trump a criminal every 5 minutes on air. But somebody that illegally crosses the border is not an illegal alien. Why not? I mean, it's not. There's nothing wrong with that term.
Yeah, I love the way you articulated that statement about the gender, because this is the same folks who for 2 years told us to trust the science. But when it comes to gender, we're not allowed to do that. Chris, I
think I'm the only cable news head that believes there's only two genders, by the way. one in the United States.
Or at least we'll say that publicly.
And I might add, people are joining us. Newsmax is going public very soon. We filed with the SEC. We're planning to be listed on the New York Stock Exchange. And we have tens of thousands of people have said they're planning to invest. And we've had thousands of investors that have bought early shares. And I certainly want to invite your audience, if they want to check it out, to go to newsmaxinvest.com. That's one word, newsmaxinvest.com online to see the information and join with us.
Well, Chris, I appreciate you again for joining us. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. If folks want to connect with you, obviously it's newsmax.com, and I follow you on X. They can follow you on X at Chris Ruddy NMX, correct?
That is true.
Chris, thank you again for joining us. Carry on the fight. We'll look forward to your election night coverage on Tuesday.
It's only less than 48 hours away before we hear the results. So make sure you're tuning into Newsmax for continuing coverage and give us feedback. Let us know what you like about us, don't like about us, because you're part of us.
Appreciate you again, my friend. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, John.
Of course, you know, while you're maybe watching Newsmax, you've got KNSS on the air in the background. So watch Newsmax, but have KNSS on the air. We'll take a quick break because we're bringing you live election night coverage Tuesday night. And I'll be at the Ron Estes for Congress watch party down at the Cozine Center. So looking forward to that. We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open. Give me a call, 316-869-1330. Pat and John will take your calls when we come back. Plus, I've got another question from Facebook I need to get to. 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies, or by your company. From breaking news to severe weather updates, KNSS is always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles now. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. So we had a caller during the break who asked about two particular House districts, House District 29 and 103, and why there are no Republicans who are currently in either of those districts running. Because right now there are two Democrats who are on the general, so they basically won already. The first one, District 29, is both of these are heavily Democrat districts, just to give you an idea. District 29, I served with the Democrat who was there. His name is Brett Parker. That district, to give you an idea, is 57% Democrat, 43% Republican. Tough district. The current candidate, current incumbent, is Heather Meyer. And again, her last cycle, 57%, 42%. Last election before that, 57%, 43%. So, why there's no Republican challenging? Maybe because that's a tougher one. That one is up in Johnson County. House District 103 is here in Wichita. That was the seat formerly held by Ponkawee Victors. It's downtown Wichita and straight north. My parents actually used to live in this House District. That's another tough one. That's even harder. 61% Democrat, 39% Republican. The current incumbent is Angela Martinez. Both of these incumbents are, Laura Kelly, yes, people will do what they're told. The last election cycle, there was no Republican as well. There was a Libertarian who got 26% of the vote, and Martinez got 73% of the vote. So that kind of gives you an idea, folks. It's, some of these votes, some of these districts, Republicans, we have the same advantage in a number of districts. Democrats can't win in a lot of the Republican districts. There are a few Democrat districts that Republicans just can't win. For now, we'll see. It would help if we didn't have a liberal Democrat governor, that's for sure. John, you are on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around.
You're welcome. I am a first-time caller.
Well, thank you for calling.
And I'm interested in this election cycle because I voted for Donald Trump from the very beginning. And every time I've gone down in public in person and voted, and this time I voted by mail because the lines were so massive at the polling locations, and talking to some of my friends and neighbors that they stood in line for anywhere from an hour to 2 hours trying to get in to cast their ballot. So I wanted to make sure that my vote counted, so I voted by mail. I'm glad I did.
I'm like you. I'm kind of an old school. My wife and I are the same way. We like to wait till election day, make an event of it. And I like to vote in person. I've never voted by mail. For some reason, it's not a trust issue. I'm sure that systems are reliable, but I just want to go in there, go to the polls, hit the button, watch it go in. That's just sort of a tradition for me and for my wife. I'll be honest with you. It's kind of nice when you see your own name
on a ballot.
Yeah.
Of course, I've seen it for years now because I was a I'm a precinct committeeman, but it's even better when you run for other office. But, you know, it's I'm glad to hear that I've heard that from others that the advanced voting has been very busy. And I've seen that we've been getting I'm working for one of the campaigns this cycle. And, you know, we've been getting the daily numbers from the Sedgwick County Election Office, and the numbers are very high. They're very good for Sedgwick County.
I don't doubt that for one minute. I don't want to keep you because I know you're busy, but one other thing I was going to ask you about, have you heard anything locally about the state of Kansas in general, but I live in Hayesville, and I've received two letters in the mail from places wanting donations because of talk about Kansas and Hayesville and the Wichita area becoming sanctuary cities and a sanctuary state. You heard anything about that?
I have not. I know, you know, Hayesville, I used to represent Hayesville, south of Grand. That was my house district. I know your mayor, Russ Kessler, or he's a buddy of mine. Not Russ, it's his brother. But I know Mayor Kessler, he's a buddy of mine. You know, I can't see Hayesville ever going that direction. The state of Kansas would never go that direction, as even if we, you know, we have a Democrat governor. Don't get me wrong. If Laura Kelly had her druthers, and I appreciate the call, John, if Laura Kelly had her druthers, we'd be a sanctuary state. But that kind of activity you couldn't do without legislative approval. And, you know, I don't care how, whether or not we have a supermajority or not, you're never getting that kind of thing through the legislature. There are a couple of cities in Kansas that have done that. Douglas County, that's where Lawrence is. The city of Lawrence is a sanctuary city. There are a few others in Kansas, but I doubt highly that Hayesville or Kansas, for that matter, are in danger of that. So I'd be real nervous this whenever you get fundraising requests. John, I appreciate the call. Call again. We love new callers, especially Hayesville. I love Hayesville. My best area when I would door knock was Hayesville. And I tell you, I love the Hayesville people. You know, I describe they're pro-life, pro-gun, get off my porch folks. You know, they're the, I just want, leave me alone. I want government out of my business. I just want to be left alone to live my life, do my thing. And I really connected with Hayesville voters. And I still, to this day, I have a warm, soft spot in my heart for the folks down in Hayesville. I think you're going to be just fine down there. So, John, I appreciate you folks. You know what the music means. We're running out of time. We will be with you next Sunday. In the meantime, vote. Vote twice. Oh, only Democrats do that. Well, take someone with you. You can do that. In the meantime, carry on, and we'll see you Tuesday night.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.